Welcome to the No Fungi, No Future podcast. In these episodes, we interview experts in the field to gain a deeper understanding of the magical and mysterious networks of mycelia that are all around us, to learn how they impact our lives and the planet. In this episode, we have the first part of our interview with Ellen Smith and Sarah Doherty, who are both PhD researchers at the University of Northumbria. They've just published a study on the effects of lion's mane on cognition in young adults. In this episode, we discuss their backgrounds at the intersections of psychology and nutrition, as well as their findings in this study. All right, thank you, Ellen and Sarah. I was hoping in the beginning of the interview, if you could tell us a little bit about your background. I'm just curious about each of your career journeys and what was it that sort of led you to this field of psychology and nutrition and your areas of interest in general. So I wonder if you could just tell us a bit about yourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So we both actually have very similar backgrounds. So we both studied the Bachelor of Science psychology degree at Northumbria University, which is in Newcastle, so the north of England in the UK. After that, we both completed a Master of Research in psychology and then went on to do sort of semi-similar PhD projects as well within the same department. So I'll kind of talk initially about what that meant for me. So I'm based within the Brain Performance and Nutrition Research Centre within the Department of Psychology. And my PhD project looked at a polyphenol that's called resveratrol that's found in red wine and grapes. And I looked at kind of cognitive performance and mood, but I also looked at a range of different health outcomes as well. So cerebral blood flow, various blood biomarkers, including inflammation. But I also looked at the urinary metabolome and also gastrointestinal microbiota as well. Mm-hmm. And that leads quite nicely into what my role is today. So I work within NUTRAN, which is Nutrition Trials at Northumbria. And it is a group of six different labs bringing together the expertise of these labs across the university to design really ambitious nutrition research trials, looking at things like gut microbiota and cognition as well. And that's kind
of
where I'm at today.
Yeah. So I followed the same path as Ellen up to my master's. I then had a brief stint as a research assistant in the Brain Performance and Nutrition Research Centre. And then my PhD was more based in psychology. So I looked at multivitamin supplementation in older adults. But looking at it, I would say maybe a little bit less of a science background than Ellen. So we looked at a range of different outcomes, so stress, general well-being, daily living. And there was a particular focus on nutritional intake at baseline, so how that interacts with supplementation. So if we can see more improvements in certain demographics, especially older adults who may have vitamin deficiencies, and if we can actually improve this with supplementation or not. And then after my PhD, I got a job as a lecturer at Northumbria University in the psychology department. So my time's more split between lecturing and research, although I don't really lecture in my particular area. So I teach statistics to the undergraduate students. So that's kind of where I was at. We did some kind of blood biomarkers and salivary inflammation markers within my PhD. But then a lot of that was kind of lost to COVID. So I think we were both doing our PhDs during a lot of lockdowns, which led to a lot of different hurdles to have to overcome.
You know, in all the things you've been studying, what are some of the most interesting findings that have struck you so far in the various work that you've done?
So I have worked within the research centre for quite a number of years now. So I've worked on a wide variety of different projects, and it's quite difficult to maybe pinpoint specific results that I find particularly interesting. I do find our recent lion's mane results really very interesting findings. And it is quite often within this work that you don't find nice, significant findings. Yeah, I guess it's quite a hard one, especially within kind of my own work, still quite early career-wise, to see really exciting results.
Okay.
Mine would be within that PhD, so kind of predicted a lot of things would happen, so that people with lower vitamin intake would have better response to the multivitamin supplement. But a lot of the results we found was kind of in the opposite direction. And it's kind of thinking that if people within their diet have too poor of a diet, there's a lot of factors which means that they're actually not going to benefit from supplementation. So
yeah,
it was kind of suggested there might be a U-shaped curve for best absorption of supplementation. So if people are too low or too high, they're not going to see a benefit, but we have kind of sweet spot in the middle of people who are maybe consuming lower than recommended but aren't in a deficiency yet, but also aren't fully sufficient. And I think that was maybe one of the key takeaway points that I found from my PhD, because it was kind of opposite to what I'd expected to see. And I think it kind of needs more exploration in terms of dietary intake and how people respond to any supplementation or any nutritional intervention. So what are the other factors that kind of either enhance or inhibit any benefits that we see?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So let's say I am deficient in B12 or D or something like that. So you're saying that just supplementation alone may not do the trick, and it's really getting the right foods, because there's more to it than just the supplement that's at play?
Yeah, I think it depends, I would say, kind of vitamin to vitamin as well. So it would depend what you were deficient in. But for a lot of them, if you've been deficient for too long, you're not going to see a benefit from the supplement immediately. So it would probably take more dietary changes first to kind of fix whatever is going on. So it could be things within the gut, so things aren't being absorbed properly. So I think it would take kind of environmental changes, and then supplementation would work better, because you're kind of out of that really hard spot of deficiency to improve. Yeah. So it's kind of not letting yourself go too far into the deficiency. But if you are fully sufficient, you won't see a benefit either. And it could be toxic in some vitamin cases.
Yeah. Interesting. So I'm also curious, just on a personal level for both of you, as a result of all your studies and the interesting things you're looking at, how has that affected your personal diet? Like, what do you make sure to try and get into your diets as a result of things you've been studying?
Yeah, I think the kind of most important thing is to have a well-balanced, diverse diet, kind of rich in plant-based foods and to get phytochemicals. We live in the northeast of England, where we don't get much sunshine, so vitamin D supplementation is quite crucial. And they're kind of really the two main things I go with. I also don't eat meat, so iron supplementation is definitely something that I consider as well.
Yeah, I think I'm similar. So I think I'm a lot more conscious of my diet, making sure I'm getting a variety. Especially kind of green leafy vegetables for your B vitamins, and then I supplement with iron, because personally for people who menstruate, I think that's the most important thing to take, and then alongside that I take vitamin C, because that helps the absorption of iron. So I think kind of knowing how nutrients interact also help to know what you actually need to supplement and how to make sure that supplement works.
Got it. Thank you. So how did you become interested then in studying the potential effects of lion's mane on cognition? And then how did you connect with Simpera Organics as a result of that?
So I was kind of, after I came out of my PhD, I think I had a moment where I was kind of like, okay, I love what I did, but I need to find my new area. And knowing I want to stay in nutrition and maybe more dietary aspects of nutrition. So it was kind of just staying on top of what was going on in the area. And I think I've been reading an article more generally about lion's mane and about its effect on BDNF. And I was kind of like, okay, I'm really interested in this. And so I was doing more reading around it. And then I just happened to come across Sempera in an article, like a newsletter, by Nutra Ingredients, and it was about tempura and about what they were doing. And I was just kind of having a look, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to reach out here, because what is the worst that can happen? And I got a very quick response from them, and they were kind of very interested in what I had said I'd wanted to do. And it kind of just, I would say, sprouted naturally from there.
Yeah. Excellent. And so I was wondering, can you tell us a bit about the study you did, and how did you design it, and what are the key results you learned from the study, and were you surprised by any of the results of the study?
Yeah, so the study was, it was very much a pilot study. It was the first step, and I think a lot of it was kind of a proof of concept, in terms of there was a lot of research coming out about lion's mane and cognition, but mainly in older adults or people who were already experiencing cognitive decline.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the idea of, okay, if we're seeing improvements here, can we see it in other populations? And a lot of the work we do, I say, starts with younger, healthier populations, see what we can do there, and then go into more niche or specific groups. So it was designed as a very basic to the point trial. Can we see any response acutely, so after 1 hour, which hadn't been done before, and after 4 weeks, can we see any improvements on cognition, and some more generic measures of kind of stress and mood? And being totally honest, I think whenever you run small pilot trials like this, whenever you get positive responses, it is a little bit surprising in a good way, because they are pilot trials and they're not the most powered studies. But to get kind of the results we did from the short and small trial was, I would say, surprising. But I think me personally, lion's mane is one of the areas that I actually really back and believe in. Sometimes that, like, you can do like a nutritional trial and you think, okay, I don't think I'm actually going to say anything here. And I think this was the first time I had kind of that indication of, no, I really believe this has the potential to work. So I was surprised to see the results on one hand, in a small pilot trial. But on the other side, I think it just kind of spurred me on more to be like, no, this has got something here. We need to keep doing this.
We hope you enjoyed this episode featuring our conversation with Ellen Smith and Sarah Doherty. Be sure to look out for our next episode coming out soon, where we will continue this conversation. Until then, be sure to get some healthy mushrooms into your diet. Also, please take a moment to like and subscribe to our channel and drop us any comments. Your feedback is most welcome. Thanks for listening.